Cooperative Podcast.
Let's go.
Yay.
Woo.
Hi, everybody.
We're back. And we have a special edition of the Canine Cooperative Podcast. This is going to be a two, maybe even three, if we can get Vicky liquored up enough to do this. A three-part edition.
We just
edition.
Need to, like, surprise her with that.
We do. This is going to be a two, possibly third-part podcast edition where we're doing a little deep dive into getting to know the trainers of the Canine Cooperative.
Yes.
So this is going to be an interview style where Sabrina is going to be interviewing me with questions she has for me and everything she wants to know about me or thinks you should know about me. And then on the next one, I'm going to be interviewing Sabrina about all of those things. And then Sabrina and I are probably going to surprise gang up on Vicky and totally freak
you
out.
You can imagine what it's like working here.
Oh, yes. You never
like,
know
go lay down on the couch. We got some questions for you.
Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly. So,
which kind of is what it's like working here.
It is.
We get very deep.
We do get very deep. We're dog trainers and psychology majors. So.
All right.
Here we go. I am sitting on the proverbial couch. I have my emotional support glass of wine. And
go. Okay. So we're going to ask some questions. Obviously, there's some things that I do know about you, but maybe our audience doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get started, shall we?
She's shuffling papers.
Okay. So Jamie.
Yes.
Miss Jamie Wenzel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about who you are as far as like who you share your immediate life with, like who's living with you, who's part of your family, that kind of stuff.
So I am married to my husband, Robert, and we have four children together. I've been married for almost 14 years now.
Damn.
Yeah. Long time. We have four children together. My oldest, Charlotte, is 12. Then my son, Caleb, will be 10 at the end of August. Kate is 8, and Cameron, my youngest, she is 5.5. And they are all starting, that Cammy's going off to kindergarten this year, so all four of my children will be in school.
Which we were just talking
about.
It's party time.
Woo
woo!
From the hours of 8 to 3.
We get crazy around
here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. I live on a little homesteading farm, so those are my human housemates.
Yes, I'd also like to know your pet mates.
My animal companions are, I have two dogs, Queen, who is she just turned 4-year-old German Shepherd. And
that's crazy because I remember when she was
a
little
puppy.
Baby.
Yes, a little baby bear cub. Mm-hmm. She looked like she was so fuzzy. And then I have my Super Mutt Fetch, which we were just talking about. I should get that dog DNA tested because I don't know what he is.
That'd be fun too.
That would be fun. Mm-hmm. He's 2.5, he'll be 3 in December. And then I have my two horses, Kaylin and Mama. And then I have 6 hens, 1 rooster, and 10 chicks, sex to be determined. We don't know what they are
well,
yet.
That all just changes anyway because we live in the woods and you never know what you're going to wake up to in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. 2 cats and 1 ball python. That's the
and potentially thing. The other snake.
The other snake that's somewhere in the rafters, living and controlling the mice population in the walls that my son lost. So, you know, it's a menagerie. It's a menagerie over at my house. So
is that everybody?
Oh, and the koi who live in the forgot about them. But
like
they're pretty.
Gotta be somebody else.
They're pretty self-sufficient right now. But
we're gonna move some of them in over here if we can catch them.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. So, when you were younger, what is it that you wanted to do when you grew up?
How young?
Like young. Like you know. Like.
I think,
under 10.
I think from a very early age, I always wanted to be a writer.
Always.
Interesting. Like, even from a very early age, I wanted to be a writer.
Because I knew that later.
Yeah.
But so you always wanted to do that.
Yes, I always wanted to be a writer. And then when I went to college, I went to... I wanted to work with animals, but my parents had told me that you can't get a career doing that unless you were a vet. And I didn't want to be in school for that long. So I went for, I have a bachelor's degree in English creative writing with a focus on book editing.
And where'd you go to school?
William Patterson University.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
State school. Yeah. William Patterson University. And I was planning on becoming a book editor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In New York City. But yeah.
Because I remember you were saying you were going to move somewhere, because that's why I thought maybe you went to school somewhere else. But well, no, you were going to move somewhere for a job editing.
Yes. I was looking at there a couple of publishing houses either in Boston or in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And New York City. So those were my three hubs. I actually had an internship in New York City, and then life took me out of that.
Mm-hmm. So where was the transition back home where, like, we're no longer pursuing that?
I was going to start my internship. I think it was my junior year in college. Yeah. I had just turned 21. I had gotten an internship in New York City. And it was unpaid, so I was trying to figure out how to fund my way in and out of the city, because, I mean,
Lord knows that's...
Yeah.
Just across the bridge.
I interviewed, I went into the city. I remember I got this very early 2000s outfit.
Was it a pantsuit?
It was a plaid skirt with like a purple, like, over jacket that was almost like tweed, and I had like a cap. It was like a thing.
Oh my god, that's like with, so like, big chunky early 2000s.
It was bad. It was bad. I thought I was
you were on fire.
Yes. Yeah.
You were on fleek.
I was fleek. But in July, like right after my 21st birthday, my father went in for a routine heart procedure, and they kept him, and he needed a quadruple bypass. So at the time, my mom had to continue working to pay for the medical bills, mm-hmm. and I had to stay home. I chose to stay home and care for my dad instead of going into the city. So I stayed home that summer and helped with his rehab and all that kind of stuff, and getting him back on his feet. And then I went for my senior year of college and delayed my internship. And then life had other plans after that. But that's okay. That's why I did not follow that path. Which everything happens for you, you know?
So where did you land immediately after that?
Immediately after that, when I graduated...
Like once everything was good with your father and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I graduated college in 2008. Mm-hmm. So that was right when that recession hit and mm-hmm. nobody was hiring.
Oh, yes. True story.
Yeah. Yeah, 2008 was bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody was hiring in any sort of capacity whatsoever. So I was like, well, I got to do something. And I always worked with animals. I always loved animals. I worked with horses before I even worked with dogs. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? And a veterinary hospital was hiring for receptionist / pet farm. They were training for pet pharmacy stuff and all that kind of stuff. And it was a full-time job, good pay. And I was like, all right, well, I'll get a job here until I can find a publishing job.
Okay.
And then so I went right into a veterinary practice after college.
So the horses, did that occur before that?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I always was horse crazy, but that was an expensive sport and we did
Isn't
not
it?
Have that kind of money growing up. So every now and then I'd beg my parents for lessons. And my mom, when I was younger, she cleaned houses and then she eventually got a job at the high school I went to. And so she paid for a couple of lessons here and there, and I worked my way around barns and stuff like that, and in and out of that. But when I went to college, my first job ever in high school and beyond was on a farm locally. Mm-hmm. And so I started exercising the young horses that nobody else wanted to ride because I was so desperate to ride. I was like, I don't care if they're crazy.
That's kind of your MO.
Yeah. I don't care if they're crazy.
We're in good company.
This could kill you. It's fine. It's fine. I bounce. It's fine. It's fine. So I started I started really doing some more riding there. And then in college, I joined the William Patterson Equestrian Team. Mm-hmm. I was actually one of the first ones who helped the resurrection movement, because the William Patterson Equestrian Team back in the early 80s was like a thing. It was like a hot...
Oh, and it kind of like died out, and then you brought it.
And I was one of the first to kind of bring that back in my college years, mm-hmm. which is still a great program. So I then, with the trainer that we had found to coach the team, I then started working for her and training for her and teaching lessons. So that's kind of one of the ways I funded my college education was training horses and
caring for the horses and all that kind of stuff.
And teaching lessons and all of that kind of stuff. So I went through college. I got some pretty whole box of ribbons. My kids like to be like, oh, look it. And I'm like, yeah. got a whole box of ribbons. Went pretty far in the intercollegiate circuit too. But yeah, so I did all of that in college. And so that's where my horse education came from.
And what kind of style did you ride in college?
English hunter jumper over fences, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Okay. So we covered a lot here.
Yeah.
So I want to know how many, getting back into the dog thing, how many dogs have you had in your life?
Okay. As far back as I can remember.
As far back as you can remember.
Or like growing up with.
Well, I guess dogs, because like when I think about that, I mean, I was, not that this interview is about me, but as an example, sample example.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of dogs like in my life when I was younger that made a big impact on like obviously how I feel about them today. But they weren't necessarily mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they might as well have been because I was so desperate and I spent so much time with them.
Yes. Yeah.
So like I guess that.
Okay. So my earliest memories of a dog was a Shih Tzu named Tiny. He was my family's dog before I was born.
That is my earliest memory of a dog too, is a Shih Tzu.
Is it? Yeah. So a Shih Tzu named Tiny.
They must have been very popular back then.
They could have been. Yeah. I don't know. Which is how my family got Tiny was a crazy story, but so I remember him. He passed when I was like 5, 6, I think. I was young, but I was old enough to remember my parents telling me that it was time for, like, they took him to the vet and they had to put him down and all that kind of stuff. And then a classmate of mine, a friend of mine, they lived down the street, and I'm old enough now to know that they were hoarders.
Mm.
Right? So, because she's,
like animal hoarders?
Yes. That she smelled
hoarders of stuff.
Like animal hoarders.
Yeah.
They had everything under the sun and there was just animals all over the place all the time. So they had two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had more than two dogs.
I was going to say.
They had more than two dogs. They had cats. They had rats. Mm-hmm. They had like everything. And she smelled like an animal hoarder. But I was a kid. I didn't know. And I'd go over to her house and I loved it because there were these animals everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of their dogs ended up having a litter of puppies. I begged my parents. I was like, please. So, and they were like Shih Tzus. There were two Shih Tzus. And my parents said yes. And I brought them over to meet the puppies. And I was like, I picked this one. And then there was like another one there. And they looked like I picked the female and the male looked just like Tiny One.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have litter mates?
Yes.
Get out.
I did.
Are you serious?
I had litter mates. I did. And so we ended up getting two, and I remember one day they were like getting papers or registered or whatever. And my friend's mom called up and we're like, what are you going to name these dogs? Like, I need to know to put them on their papers. Mm-hmm. And I was like 9, 10, 8 and I didn't know what to name them. And my family wasn't home and my mom was like set on something, 'cause it was a male and female, of like Fred Nethel,
Lucy,
and Ricky. And I was like, well, the male looks like Tiny, our old dog, so we're going to call him Tiny 2. And then the other one, she's a girl, so she's my princess. So I had Tiny and Princess. And my mom was...
I never do this.
Really?
I find it so funny. I don't know why I think it's so funny.
So I had Tiny and I had Princess. And when I came home and told my mom, she was livid.
It's only on the papers. It's
she's like,
they're show names.
She's like, these are the dumbest names. Like, we're gonna have two dogs and they're gonna live forever. God. So we brought these dogs home. I've got so many fun
stories. Like, how am I crying already?
I've got so many fun stories of these little dogs.
Oh my God.
Which is funny, because when I grew up, I was like, no little dogs ever.
Right? Well, right, no little dogs and no litter mates.
No, and no litter mates. So I had these two dogs. And they came home, and like from the moment they came home, I was like, I was sleeping in the crate with them, like aww, inside the crate. We crated them in the same crate.
I was going to say you crated them together in the same crate.
Same crate, crated them together. Crated them in the same, I was sleeping in the crate together. Like, if they didn't eat their dog food, I would sit next to the bowl and I would eat the dog food to show them. Like, I was weird. I didn't have a lot of friends.
No, I feel like I used to do the same thing.
Did not have a lot of friends. Okay. All right, so here's a funny story which you will appreciate. I know you'll appreciate this story, and I don't think I've ever told you this. Maybe I have. But I grew up in the Baptist faith. Mm-hmm. My family was Christian. I'm still a believer to this day, right? But we believe that in order to go to heaven, you have to pray for your sins to be forgiven and accept Jesus Christ into your heart in order to go to heaven, mm-hmm, right? I was so worried that if my dogs died, and I died, that if they died before me, I wouldn't see them in heaven, that one day I like sat in the living room and I propped them up on their back legs and put their paws together and like had, oh, and had them pray to accept Jesus into their heart,
oh,
so that when they died, they could go to heaven, so that when I died later, they would be there waiting for me.
Oh. Sean walks by. Oh boy.
Now I'm crying. That's like, I love these dogs. I would dread
it. Do you do it with the dogs you have now?
No, no.
You're like, fuck you, I don't care.
They're all set. Wherever we're going, they'll find me, whatever. But yeah, those were the dogs I grew up with.
Oh my God.
Here's another funny story about Tiny. Tiny was the male.
Uh-huh.
And one time, I pissed my mother off badly. And, like, she always would, like, my punishment was the wooden spoon. Mm. I'd get the spoon, right? So I
like,
did
and you're
something.
Not Italian.
Yeah, no. I did something and the wooden spoon came out and I was old enough to run, mm-hmm, right? I had learned by now. I'm like, get out of there. So I was running and my mother was chasing me. And because I was running and she was, like, yelling at me, Tiny ran up behind her and bit her in the ass.
I love that dog. I love that dog.
And she
I mean, your mom's lovely too,
but how funny. She stopped chasing. She's like, ah! I'm like, what happened? She's like, he bit me in the behind.
That's what you get, Mom. That's what you get.
And I didn't get the wooden spoon. He saved me.
Oh, my God.
Punishment.
We like Tiny. We like Tiny, too.
He was great. He was great. And then Tiny ended up having cancer, and he died. But then Princess lived to be like, she was like, I was 20.
Did you have, so that was, those were your childhood dogs.
Yeah, those
and then who did you have, like, as you,
so after Princess passed, I was like, I need a dog, like, I want a dog of my own.
Yeah.
And I want a dog, nothing, none of this little dog nonsense. I want a dog, mm-hmm, right? I want a dog that I can take me to the barn and hiking. I was super active. I was, you know, all that kind of young person stuff, right? And so then I went to a shelter and I got Huck.
Mm-hmm.
And adopted him and brought him home. And he was like another super much shepherdy mix.
Those were all the dogs back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of shepherd.
Shepherdy, mm-hmm, mix. So then I got Huck. And Huck's the one that started my training journey. And then after that was Lila. And then I had Sawyer. And then I had Shadow. And then there was Chubbs. Queen. Fetch. So what's that?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of dogs in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. So that's all my dogs.
Okay. All right. So I know Huck was the one that brought you into training. Mm-hmm. So how did you find your way into training? Because a lot of people don't know the story.
Okay. So when I adopted
Huck. Get
your
tissues out.
I know. This is a sad story. When I adopted Huck, I wasn't 21 yet, I don't think. I was 20. And the guy I was dating at the time, who happens to be my husband now, went to my parents and said, initially, he's like, I was 21, because he said to them, I will either take your daughter skydiving or get her a dog. What would you choose? And so for my 21st birthday, we jumped out of an airplane.
My mom would have said the same thing.
Yes.
The airplane.
The airplane.
The airplane.
Yes.
No dogs.
So, because my parents were all like, we have adult children, we want to travel, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? And I don't know why they said that, because we traveled a ton during my childhood. Like, I spent my 16th birthday on the top.
With the dogs?
No.
Like, they didn't come, but you had people that, you had people that cared for them.
Yeah. So, anyway, we finally warmed down, and I remember going to a shelter, and, like, a nine-month-old dog, and it was your typical, like, TV love story, right? I walk in, they take me back into the quarantine, and they're like, hey, you should look at this dog.
Quarantine?
Yeah.
Oh, he was sick?
I think he had, like, worms or something, oh, okay. Like, something normal.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're lucky if you don't get easy, yeah. Lewis.
Lula's like, I don't like that.
I don't like worms at all.
So I go back, and this dog, and now, as a professional, I look back on these memories, and I'm like, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. I would have been like, I would advise the person who was my age standing looking at the dog going, don't get that dog. Don't get that dog. But he's like, floor to ceiling, bouncing all over the kennel and blah, blah, blah. And they're like rambling off all of his issues. And I'm just like, look at this, yes. Like whatever. And he comes out and he jumps on me and then he licks my face. And I'm like, this is the dog for me, right? So I go home, I get my family. I'm like, just come and meet him because I know my father, right? My father's going to clap his eyes on this animal and see a cage front and be like, okay. And that's exactly what happened. So I named him Huck Finn because I'm a big Mark Twain fan, mm-hmm. Literary nut. I didn't put together that when you're screaming your dog's name,
Huck, sounds a lot like something else.
Oh, that's funny.
So I named him Huck, Huckleberry Finn. I take him home. The dog had resource guarding, like you wouldn't believe. He was 9 months old, wild. He had panocytosis, which is like a growing pain thing. So he had to be on medication for that off and on. And I did like, I did all the things that a person was supposed to do. So they're across the street from my house I grew up in. My parents still live in the house that I grew up in. It is a firehouse. And there was a trainer over there that taught obedience classes out of the firehouse.
Was it Miss?
I don't think so. I think it was a female.
Okay.
It was not.
I know he was in Ringwood for a long time.
Yeah, he was in Stone Town. So I went to several classes over there, which was great because I'd walk him there and I'd walk home and we'd do training. And like, it was all that click treat stuff. Mm-hmm. I got real good with a clicker and like my front attaching harness and all of that.
Glitter and unicorns.
Like he came, and that dog came everywhere with me. Everywhere, like softball games, baseball stuff, like the farm, the barn, like everywhere I went, that dog was at my side. And I was the idiot who was like, oh well, he's generally pretty good in my yard, like, you know what I mean? Like I would hike with him off leash, but he was weird. Like he would resource guard me, he would like react towards other dogs, he would be reactive towards people, like he hated.
But yes, but now you wouldn't look at that as weird.
Yeah.
You're like, that's a dog,
right? I'm like, yeah, him and everybody else. But I didn't know what I was dealing with. I was like, whatever.
It's very off-putting if it's the first time.
So, you know, I'd go to training classes and like, as long as I had a bag of hot dogs, because I remember standing at my counter cutting up like packages of hot dogs into quarters.
Quarters. I was going to say four times, not half.
No, four. You cut them up in the quarters. You make those things last. Your fingers would be so greasy. You couldn't even click the clicker. You'd be like, click, boom, and the clicker would shoot across the room because all the hot dog grease.
Soap.
Yeah, it was gross. And we'd go to class and I'd be like, he's biting my boyfriend's roommate. Like, he resource guards this. And I worked through the resource guarding by watching Cesar Millan on TV. Mm. That's what we did back then.
No, that is, yeah. I mean, he was the guy that was,
yeah,
that was definitely talking about it to a point where it was a...
Oh, yeah. Like, it was the conversation. He was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. So then one day I took Huck with me on a hike at a local Ringwood State Park over here, Ringwood Manor, mm-hmm. actually. And coming out of the hike, he, like, for as weird as he was with people, there was this group of special needs adults that were out doing mm-hmm. a picnic. And he let this one guy, like, just pet him and love on him. And, like, the aide was there. It was like, you're making his day. He talks all about this dog. And I'm like, oh, my
God. You're like, please don't bite.
But he was great. He loved it. It was one of those things where, I don't know, if he just sensed that this person needed a dog. Like, he was just great with it. And, like, I put him in the back of my car. We come home. I pull into the driveway. Put it in park. He had his leash on, and he was a maniac in the car because he was jumping from the back to the front to the back.
Well,
to
and
the front.
Here's the thing too. Like, I know, like, we'd driven by your house. You didn't grow up in an area where, like, it was super busy.
Yeah.
As you're going into what happened, but, like, I think that's important too.
That it
can happen.
At any point in time. It was a very controlled neighborhood type deal. So
it's not like she lived off of, like.
No, like a highway.
The parkway.
Yeah. No. So I opened the car door, and he had wound his leash around the headrest because I had a hatchback at the time. So he was from the back seat to the trunk to the back seat. So mm-hmm. he wound his leash around it, and I couldn't get him all whatever. So I unclipped his leash, and he jumps out of the car. So he's in the front yard just sniffing around doing whatever, and I'm at the front door, and my neighbor's across the street come from the back of their house to the front of the house, and he looks up and he sees them, and they wave and say hi, and I said, "Huh, come," but I didn't have any hot dogs. And he looks at me, pauses, looks at them, and they're like, "Hey," and I don't know if they were just saying hi to me or if they just wanted to ask a question or whatever. I didn't really talk to these people a ton.
Right.
And he just takes off towards them. And before I could even take another breath to say, come, a car came right down the straightaway. And I watched him go underneath the front bumper of the car, over the front wheel, under the second wheel. And he was laying in the street. This is where I cry.
I have another glass of wine.
This is where the emergency wine comes in. And
you can't get that vision, though, out of your head. Like, you can't, like, no matter
how hard you try,
it's...
The sound that came out of me, everyone came out of their house. They thought a child died.
Yeah.
That's what my neighbor told me after the fact. And I laid down in the middle of the street with him and held him while he took his last breaths. And, like, the police came, and my neighbor had to pull me off of his body because I just wouldn't let him go. My parents were away at the time. Nobody was home.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it's funny, one of the most vivid memories I have is watching, I knew he had died because I watched the ticks leave his body.
Yeah, oh, it's horrible. It is just absolutely horrible watching anything pass away, but especially something that you love, someone that you love.
And so, and I remember telling the cop, like, make sure that the driver knows that it wasn't her fault. Because I was concerned about her emotional well-being. Because we lived on a straightaway and the cars did come whipping past there. It wasn't a busy area. But yeah.
But it's also, like, as a driver, I can imagine how
terrible
you feel. Oh, my God. I can't.
Well, I was wailing as if someone's child has...
Yours.
You did.
Essentially.
So, and I remember he's still buried back there in the back of my parents' house.
Is he?
Yeah. He's still back there. But yeah, that was my first, as my personal first dog, that was my first dog experience. I didn't own him for a year yet before he had died.
Really?
Yeah. I hadn't had him for a year yet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Maybe it was like right around a year mark. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that long.
So you went and did all the things that you thought.
Yeah, I went to training classes. I read books. Mm-hmm. I, like, did all the clicker stuff and all the treats and did all the things because I knew he needed to be trained. But none of it prepared me for that moment.
So did that experience take you to, like, immediately into it? Did it, like, make you think or second guess what you're doing with the next dog that you got? Like, how quickly did that kind of propel you into working with dogs.
I remember being very angry. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling like I was duped or swindled. Mm-hmm. Because, like, everybody... I did all of the things that I was told to do by the shelter, by what you think you're supposed to do to prepare me for those moments. And it wasn't like I went to class and was like, yeah, no, whatever. Like, we worked, every
yep.
day. Mm-hmm. Like... exercise and engagement and like all of that stuff. Like we worked every day and none of it did anything. It was to help me in the moment when I needed to save his life. Like that was a life-saving moment and it failed. And I was so angry about it. And then about 5-6 months after, I was ready to get another dog. And I was like, I started researching the shit out of dog training and every, I was like, I will never be put in a position where, like, why did this not work? That mm-hmm. was my big question. Yeah. Why didn't it work? If I'm doing all the things that's supposed to work, why did it not work? And then I started researching stuff, and that's when I was working at the vet at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I like started really doing a lot, diving into the dog training. And then when I got my next dog, Lila, I got her from a rescue who said she was like 7-8 months old. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 weeks after I got her, she lost all her puppy teeth. And I was like, okay.
And there you got a crash course in rescue.
Yeah. So, and she was a cattle dog mix. Cattle dog pit lab mix. Super
oh, wow.
smart, super yeah. drivey. And she, that was the dog that, like, she made me become a dog trainer. Like, Huck kicked it off because I was like, what is wrong with the industry? Like, what is wrong with this picture? Mm-hmm. And then working with her, she was an insecure dog I know now. Like, she had some flight response issues. She would throw up in the car, like thunderstorms. She would like eat her way through stuff to like find a safe place to hide during thunder. But she was the one who really propelled me into dog training. And she was the one. And then soon after I got her, I got Sawyer. And Sawyer was a disaster of a dog. Like reactive. That's the dog that put me in the hospital a couple of times.
Is this... So at what point did you shift from the veterinary community into, because like my next question is like, what different jobs have you had within the industry? Because I know like after the veterinary practice, is that when you went to go work at the shelter?
So
or like,
I,
how did that
yeah.
transition happen? Because that's when you had Sawyer, right? You took him out of the shelter that you worked at?
No. So when I was in the vet, that's when I went, I kind of, the stuff that I was doing with Lila and then the stuff that I started, Sawyer was, it was before like social media was a thing. I don't know how I found him. Somebody I knew somewhere was like, I know this girl who's getting rid of this dog. She mm-hmm. like picked him up. She worked for Katini.
Okay. That's a veterinarian
yeah.
around here.
And so she took him from Katini because he had parvo as a puppy and took him home.
Oh, those parvo puppies.
And she was afraid of him mm-hmm. because he was biting the crap out of her. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, what, he's like 6 months old, whatever. And, you know, I did all the wrong dog introduction things at the time, like all this stuff. But I brought him home. He was a Shepherd Doberman mix of some
okay.
sort. Big dog. And he was wildly reactive, but he was... At the time, I was in animal behavioral college to be certified for a dog trainer.
So that's how deep you went. You were like,
yeah.
I am going to get a certification in dog training.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of because of the veterinary practice. Because what I started doing with Lila to help her off of my own research, I would see clients come into the veterinary practice struggling with their dog. I was like, hey, if you just try this... This is what I'm working on and it really helps.
Yeah.
And like, I was getting, oh my God, you should be a dog trainer. Like this, they'd come back. They'd be like, this worked. Thank you so much. Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, maybe that's what I should do. So then I looked into certifications and I was like, oh, I'll do animal behavioral college. Cause that was one of the only certifications at the time that was out there because it wasn't a thing to be a certified dog trainer. So I went through that and while I was in that, that's when I met and brought home Sawyer. And I remember the day I met him, he came barreling down the stairs in her house and just plowed through a baby gate. Didn't jump it, just
out of my way.
Ran through the whole thing, just knocked the whole thing over. And I was like, oh dear. She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I took this dog home. He was reactive to other dogs. He would redirect. He had food issues. That's the dog I bit in the face. He like was weird about his paws.
He was. How do you correct a dog? Bite it in the face.
That's the dog I bit in the face.
Now, caveat, people, we've all done that.
Yeah.
If you've been training dogs as long as we have, or have been involved with dogs as long as we have, you've absolutely bitten a dog back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. Totally did. And like, and it was all my fault why he bit me to begin with, but I bit him back. But he was like, he was terrible. And I took him to, at the time, in order to be certified, you had to go through it. The program's a little different now. But you worked with your mentor trainer.
Mm-hmm.
You did volunteer hours at a shelter, but your mentor trainer, it was, you observed a 6-week class, participated in a 6-week class, and then taught a 6-week class. So that's everything that I had to do. When I participated in the 6-week class, I took Sawyer, and he was so he screamed at like shepherd screamed the whole thing. And that was when he was on a, like the trainer put him on a choke chain, and it was, you stood in one place and turned in a tight circle and pop, 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 pop in mm-hmm. a circle. And I could not for the life of me.
That's great for redirection.
Oh my God. Like I look back now, I'm like, oh,
what the fuck?
Like my younger self. I'm like, oh, sweetheart. Like if I knew what I knew now, like he would fence fight, all that kind of stuff. He would get in fights with the other dogs in the house. Like he was just, he was a tough dog. He was a dangerous dog. That's the only dog that landed me in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He was also, that was one of my heart, I've never fully recovered from the heartbreak of that dog.
Yeah.
He was my heart dog for as fucked up as he was.
But you couldn't save him.
Yeah. So, because he got so dangerous, like it was endangering my children's lives at the time, because we had a couple of kids at the time, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But he was the one that got me working with dangerous dogs. And then after that, the shelter that I did my volunteer hours with, they hired me once I got certified. Because okay. I was pregnant with my oldest while I was going through school with him. And then once I finished that in December, I had my oldest child in April, and then I started working with the shelter 3 months later, and they hired me right out of there. And so that's how I started working. So I went from the veterinary's office, and then when I, and that was, the management there was terrible. So I left that, did a short stint while I was in school to be a dog trainer in a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, after Charlotte, I went right into the shelter system and worked.
And how long were you there at the shelter?
7 years.
7 years.
I was there for 7 years. And that's, and I never intended to have my own dog training business. But what happened in the shelter was people would call up and say that they needed to surrender their dog for XYZ reasons, or they wanted to return a dog we adopted out. And I would talk to them and I'd be like, if I taught you how to deal with your dog's behaviors,
mm-hmm.
would you surrender their dog? They'd be like, no, because they'd be in tears. They'd be like,
yeah,
of course. Do this.
Yeah.
We'd try all this stuff.
And that stuff still exists. We still get those phone calls on the regular.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, we just had one the other day.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because one of our born, like the twins who just came through a born train, her sister was one of my first clients ever that I started seeing private clients out of the shelter. I adopted.
It went back that far?
Yes.
I didn't know it went back that
far. Yeah, so Cheryl's sister
mm-hmm.
adopted a dog I had in the shelter, Ace, who was this one-year-old happy-go-lucky thing, but he was very mouthy,
mm-hmm.
and he was just wild. And I worked with him in the shelter, and I adopted him out, and they were struggling at home. And I was like, please don't return him. I'll come to your house, like, whatever. And they were the first clients, I think, one of the first, if not the first clients I ever saw mm-hmm. outside of the shelter system. And then it just gained traction from there.
Mm.
Like, but it's funny how everything comes full circle.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so I worked in the shelter, and then I took clients on the side only as like a necessity thing to keep dogs out of the shelter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that you probably weren't even charging for.
I wasn't. Yeah. I was like, just don't bring him here.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, keep him. Keep him.
Just
in your
don't
house.
Bring him here. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, and then somebody kept saying like, you should charge for this. Like the people I would help, that you should charge.
Which is funny because we ran into that guy, didn't we?
Yeah,
I told you that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
It's you funny. Should charge for this. Yeah. You should charge for this. So. I started charging. I remember my first section. I was like, I felt so bad asking for $60. I spent like 2.5 hours with these people, and I felt so bad asking for $60. I was like, I don't know, $60. And then it just spread word of mouth from there to the point where I left the shelter. And
so it's almost like they put you in a position to start a business.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I left the shelter and was dog training full time. And then I met you.
Oh, well, hi.
All right. So let's see where we are in here. All right. So we know that you like went to ABC and that mm-hmm. was basically like you learning dog training. I mean, we all know that there's a book component, but it's really hands on, which you had way more. You should probably have been teaching shit at ABC, but
yeah.
All right. So tell me some people over the years that you have founded. It doesn't have to necessarily be dog training, because I know you also like you did the horse training, things like mm-hmm. that. Who are people in the industry that you look up to? Like, who would you consider mentors?
Like that I've met personally?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, Lisa.
Or just people that like will give you like sage advice, yeah. or like people that you do know personally. Like, I know Lisa Perry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Lisa Perry was the animal control officer that worked at the municipal shelter that I was at, and she's always been so encouraging of my career, and so like she's had so much hands-on experience in the field in animal control, which is different than dog training, but
oh yeah, it's like you're basically just.
Yeah. Managing people and like
managing
all
people,
yeah.
managing animals, like, but also like dealing with animals that are dangerous or dealing yeah. with animals that are super difficult.
Yeah.
Or even just being confrontational yeah. as an animal control officer, because you kind of have to be.
Yes. Yeah. So like she taught me a lot about how to talk to difficult people and like all that kind of stuff. And then, I mean, I have to credit Cesar Millan because
He was the first.
He was the one that I started to be like geek out on and all that kind of stuff. But I
really, Victoria Stilwell doesn't fall in there at
all. Oh God, I hated her. From the beginning. When she showed up her first episode of her show in her black, like
they were competing. There were definitely competing Ugh. Factors Ugh. On the on but, the television.
But like those are two people in the industry that I remember specifically that influenced me greatly. But honestly, it wasn't people, it was the dogs mm. I work with, the dogs that I remember, because my first week on the job in the shelter, because I worked at a municipal shelter and the municipality we worked for covered 7 towns mm-hmm. and one of the towns, there's a specific section that I got my one dog Chubbs from that's impoverished is the word that I will use. Like, the dogs are out on chains. They're like, nobody's spayed and neutered. Like, if they get food, they get food. Like, so we get a lot of dogs from them.
Well, the thing about Jersey, too, is that there's a lot of areas that are impoverished like that. And there's a lot of inner city shelters
yeah.
that really struggle. And like,
yeah. And like, one of the things that I credit my education to now and the reason why I'm so successful is because when I walked into that shelter the first week there, the people who ran it at the time looked at me and said, this dog, this dog, this dog. One of the dogs' name was Zeus. If you can't figure out how to fix this dog, it's going to be euthanized in a week.
Yeah, a week.
And I was like, whoa. And at that moment, like, animal control just picked it up straight. There's no human at the other mm-hmm. end of the leash being like, well, at 8 weeks, blah, blah, blah.
And that's something, I mean, we don't have to get into it now. That might be another podcast, but people need to understand what happens to dogs when they get pulled in as strays or when they get surrendered or
yeah.
things like that. Oh, yes, I know. Tallulah's got a lot to say about that.
Tallulah ran her own street gang.
Yeah, she did. They're like, what's up? What's up? All right. Enough. Thank you. Move along.
But I really credit a lot of my influence and information and what I learned, like, from dogs. Like, information back then when I started wasn't as free-flowing as it was now. Like, YouTube was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there
no,
was...
No, there was no YouTube.
There was no YouTube. Mm-hmm. There was no community.
Or not
was,
as we know it now.
No. There was no community. There was no online course. It was very much like... And trainers, even now, but back then, were very, like...
Protective
over their information and their stuff. They were suspicious of other trainers coming on. Like, even the mentor I shadowed underneath was, like, locking down. I was like, oh, my goodness. So, all the stuff that I know now... I learned from either reading from books, like physical books.
What are those?
With paper pages.
What? You had to use your eyes, not your ears?
And based off of cause and effect of what the dogs taught me worked. Like I had to learn how to speak dog. It was like being picked up and thrust into a different culture, country and culture where you didn't know the language.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, I had to because the stakes were... Figure it out or someone else dies. And so, like, while there are a couple of people along the way that I kind of looked to, I didn't realize there were a community. I thought for a long time that I was the only... I didn't know it was called balanced training.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I was the only one in the area who did this.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, I was like, nobody else I know does this. And there was nobody to ask, nobody to look to. I had to figure it all out. Like, that's where my education came from, was dogs. So I can name dogs down the line that, like...
That influenced you.
That influenced me. And it was all them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I figured it out. I was like, I just did shit. And I was like, well,
did
that
it work?
Worked.
Did it not?
That did not. And that's who I really learned from, was dogs.
All righty. Well, now...
Oh. She's Dr. Evil petting her chihuahua. I am petting my chihuahua. Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
Now let's get a little bit more into present day.
Okay.
So, fun question. We just, in the last half a year, moved to this lovely space that we're looking over as we're chatting with everyone.
Surveying our
dog land.
A plantation.
Hi. Everybody's coming in to say hello. Goodbye. The dogs have just taken over. They're all jumping up and...
Excuse me while I make out. Yes.
Yeah. So we moved here, and we both had very... we both worked previously in very similar situations before coming here. So we both had... at-home businesses. We did board and trains. We did some private training, things like that. But we've now moved to this space, and I want to know what your favorite part about moving to this space is. Like, coming from what we did previously and coming here, what is your favorite part about it?
I'm thinking.
So she's thinking the thought bubbles for everybody.
There are several, and they're all in different areas of my life.
Okay.
I'm trying to prioritize which ones first.
Well, you can go down a few of those rabbit holes. I'm like trying to see like how long we've been chatting for. Not that there's a time frame, but
48 minutes. I kind of allotted like these
an
would
hour.
Take like an hour.
Yeah.
Because
I got more questions.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, this might be a little bit longer than an hour.
That's
I'm like,
fine.
Okay.
Wait till we get to yours.
2 hours.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that? No. My favorite part.
I might need to take a nap first.
My favorite. Probably. Or eat some food. Oh, no, more importantly, get another bottle.
Get another bottle of wine.
Yep.
It's going to be a sloppy interview, people.
My favorite kind. Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind, my favorite part of moving here is you.
Oh.
Truthfully.
Yes, my favorite part, and if that was a question on your list that I'm not allowed to see.
Don't look at my questions. We weren't allowed to see each other's questions ahead of time. There's no prep for this. It's all on the fly. People.
It is all on the fly. I tried to read her questions. I did. I cheated. But she writes like a fucking doctor. And I could not read them.
I have the worst handwriting on the planet. It's so bad. They won't even let me write on the whiteboard.
No, we've taken that away. The best part is is that you wanted to give people thank you notes, which is adorable.
I do.
But then your penmanship.
I ordered custom thank you notes to send to clients once they finish the program. And then I went, who am I going to get to write them? Because my handwriting is so bad. Anyway, my first favorite thing is you. Like, I really enjoy...
Yes, we really do. We have so much fucking fun together. It's ridiculous.
The fact that I get to come here and see you every day and do this with you is what my favorite thing is. And the team we've built, like Vicky and Taylor and just like the...
And now Jess?
And now Jess. Jess just came on.
And
it.
Jess is a former client?
And Jess is a former client. And like, I knew she'd be perfect because her dog's an asshole. And I was like, I love Jax, but you're perfect. You know exactly how I look at it. But I love the team that we have mm-hmm. here. I love the fact that coming to work feels like coming home.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like this place of peace we have here is a great feeling. Like, I don't ever dread coming to work.
We might be tired. But we don't dread it.
No, we don't dread it. So that would be the first thing I said. The second thing is... I like the fact that my home, my property, especially with my children, like, we're not restricted there. When we ran things out of my house, it was a lot of, my kids couldn't do things because I was seeing clients.
You also specifically worked with dangerous dogs.
Yes.
And you have young children. And although your children are...
Yes.
Totally on top of it and responsible and will...
I scared the living shit out of them.
As you should have. It's still nice to just allow them to come in and out and go.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's... having that separation where I'm like, my house is now being given back to my children. Like, mm-hmm. my training space and my home and stuff like that is now the kids' space. So being able to live a more private lifestyle is... With my children specifically. I don't think I would care as much if it was just me, but with my children...
Well, no, and I have to say, like, as we were building up this property, I remember your kids, like, they were so cute. They were like, oh my God, like, how's everything going? And,
yeah.
Like, do you guys need help? And then they were like, because we can't wait to have the basement back.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Like, well, you guys are so sweet. Oh, no.
They just want their
stuff. You just want your space back.
I will say, Kimmy has been asking me to come to work lately. Can I come to work with you today?
Of course, she's always welcome.
Yes. I have to take her with me to work one day. She loves training dogs. She does. It, like, when we die, she's going to be the one that takes stuff.
We Thelma and Louise it over the edge of a cliff.
That's how we're going to go. Or, like, have you watched Secondhand Lions yet?
No.
You
no,
have
but
to
we're
watch
the old
that.
Men.
We're the old men. They die because they're, like, getting so old they can't function. They fly an airplane into a barn. They go out flying.
It's the man's version.
It is the
man's
version.
We're just going to go when Vicky gets married in Utah.
Yeah,
we're just...
take a boat over the falls. Or jump off one of those mess cliffs. Yeah.
Sean, you can get in the back seat.
Yeah. We'll take you with us, Sean. We'll take you with her.
Let me drive.
Yeah.
Okay, so. This might be a heavy question, but what's the 5-year plan for the Canine Cooperative as far as you see it?
As far as I see it.
Yeah.
Oh no. I feel like if my answer is wrong, we're gonna break up.
You're a 5-year plan person. If you ask me that question, I'm like, well. You're a 5-year plan. Like, condensed version of the 5-year plan. Like, where do you see this going? Because we're in the very beginning stages. Which we've done a lot.
We have done
in
a lot.
Half a year. Like,
so I think we're still going to be offering the same training program mm-hmm. to clients, the same community. I think in 5 years from now, I would like to see you and I create training for trainers. Mm-hmm.
Educating the next generation.
Educating the next generation. That's kind of where my focus and where my thoughts have been. We have been in contact with so many people who have been to other trainers, and we have young people coming to us who are interested in training. Our internships have kind of been a really
gaining traction now that I kind of feel a responsibility, especially after all of the clients who go through terrible trainer experiences, that
seems to be our thing.
Like, everyone we're talking to lately has been to one, if not two, three, four.
I mean, like, five, six, seven.
Yes.
You know?
Other trainers where it's this thing where
you keep talking. Yeah. That's going to get annoying.
They have these terrible experiences, and I feel like 5 years from now, we're going to have a program where we're training other trainers to use the mellow method that we've created.
Well, that's the thing. We've created a method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that works.
I think there's some of that. I would like to see us travel and do workshops in other places.
That's the RB conversation.
Yes.
And maybe some acreage in New York State.
Yes. So I'd like to see that. I would like to see some hosting retreats for dogs. Mm-hmm. And, like, board and trains for humans and dogs.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
where
yeah.
the humans stay. Like, have a place where, like, owners can come and stay for 2 weeks or a week or whatever with their dog and have an immersion program mm-hmm. and learn the ins and outs of training. I would like to see that. Like, it's a very like, our 5-year plan is very education rich, but education rich for humans.
Right.
Like,
it's like getting an education in dog, not
yeah,
dog training,
but understanding dogs. Cause that's a big conversation we've been having lately
yes.
is that the missing piece in all of this is not necessarily the methodologies. It's that people have forgotten how to speak dog.
Well, and you can't leave it to the dog.
No.
The dog's an animal in a foreign mm-hmm. country, so to say, right? Human.
Yeah.
You can't leave all the responsibility, or even any of the responsibility, really, up to the dog.
Yeah.
It's the person.
It's the person.
Yeah.
And so I kind of see that in 5 years from now, is our focus shifting from, yes, helping clients, but maybe having a core group of trainers, like, do the client stuff, but us educating people who want to become trainers. That's kind of where I see things going.
Okay. I like it.
Well,
like
good.
It.
You're not going to leave me now?
I'm not going to leave you.
Okay.
I'm not
I have
leave
a very
you.
Anxious attachment style.
And I love it. Okay. Two more questions.
Okay.
Do you have a dream dog, like a fantasy dog? Like, I know I do. I don't know if Queen is that dog for you or if you have another one. I'm just curious.
Queen was that dog for me, is that dog for me. I think I will always have a German Shepherd in my household.
Okay.
For as, like, high maintenance as she is, as true as, like, care.
I'm like, buyer's remorse.
I do love it. Like, I did know what I paid for.
Yes.
I did know what I signed up for. So
podcast,
like,
on that.
Yeah. I got what I paid for, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I love her, and I will always have that kind of energy in my house. But, like, my two, and I will always have a mutt, like a run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always have those two things. But as far as a dream dog goes, as crazy as it sounds,
is it a Shih Tzu?
It's a Jack Russell.
Oh, we just had this conversation.
I know.
Day. Well, then you should get a Jack Russell, girl.
Yes, it's a Jack Russell. I have.
She was just talking about getting a little dog.
I always want a little dog. I want I've always wanted a teeny tiny dog and, like, a giant dog. And before I got to know the breeds, I was like, I want a Doberman and a Minpin.
Mm.
Like, two identical
yeah,
dogs,
yeah, yeah.
but in different sizes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always wanted that. The Doberman, I'll take. Like, when I was looking for a purebred dog, it was either a Doberman or a German Shepherd. And my husband said Dobermans were too hatchet-faced.
Like, crybaby hatchet-faced?
Why does that always come up?
I don't know, but it's great.
It is great. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you got most movies.
Johnny Depp, Crybaby, and Hatchet Face.
Oh.
Or honestly, just go on your phone and GIF Hatchet Face. It's how Jamie and I communicate.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I sent you a Hatchet Face.
It has. Yeah.
Maybe
but
you'll
yeah,
get one tonight.
I think a Jack Russell would be one. And you've kind of turned me on to Irish Wolfhounds.
my dream dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should probably get litter mates.
We should. They'd live in separate houses. It'd be fine.
Well, but, because if you have an Irish wolfhound, then technically Fetch is your little dog.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
He's not that big.
50-pound little dog.
But if I got an Irish wolfhound in the spirit of being scruffy and bearded, I'd have to get a Parson Russell Terrier instead of a Jack.
I actually think Parsons Russell Terriers are probably more up your alley as far as
it's like energy, personality
and energy.
Yeah.
Like they're a little bit more mellow.
Jacks
right?
are really strung out. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is in Ireland, because that's where they're from.
Yeah.
You can't even give them away. Mm. Like, you're like, no, thank you.
No.
And over here, people are spending thousands on them.
Yeah. No, but I that's the one. Right now, ask me in 2 weeks from now, I might be on to something else.
All right.
But,
well, we'll see.
But, yeah, no, Jack Russells are where, like, I like the fact that it's a big dog and a little dog.
Yes, package. I like that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
Okay. Hit me.
Hand signal for down.
Oh.
Hand down or foot tap?
Of course, this is the final question because we're going to get into it when we stop hitting record.
If you guys can see her face right now. So Jamie and I do not fight, like seriously fight about, I mean, this anything. Isn't even really a serious fight, but probably as close as we could get to one.
Honestly, we went through, we had a business contract drawn up, which we haven't signed yet.
And not because either one of us don't agree with it, it's just we've just
forget
had so much
it.
Other shit to do.
Yes.
We're like, it's fair.
We just don't care. We just don't care. Where we've talked about, like, what happens if one of us wants to leave the business? What happens if one of us dies? What, like, how do we split, like, the investment and the cost and the, like, all of these hard questions which people would, like, kill each other over, right? We're like, no big deal. The biggest disagreement where we've both
To the day.
Yes. Where we both went equally annoyed where we had to, like, walk away. From the conversation.
The tension you could cut with a fucking knife.
It was terrible. And both of us, you could see both of us was like, I'm very irate right now. And I don't know.
We had a shadow student.
We did.
Too. She was like, I've never.
She's like, guys. No, it was bad. It was. We were both talking shit about each other to other people after that. Like, hands down. Was whether when you give the down command, if you use a physical cue, do you use a hand signal or do you tap your foot? I am a toe tapper. And Sabrina's a hand signaler. And I remember after this fight, Vicky was in the front seat, and we had a dog in the back of my car, and we're trying to get this dog to down, and I'm like, all right, obviously the dog can't see my foot.
But so at the same time, we just said to someone that had a baby, and they're like, I'm so happy you taught the toe tap, because when I have the baby, we're keeping score. We're like one for toe, one for hand.
But I'm sitting there, and literally, this is what I'm doing in the driver's seat of the car.
It's tapping your toe.
I'm not tapping my toe. I'm like, all right, let's see if this shit works. And I'm trying in the rear view. I'm watching the dog in the rear view, and I've got my hand above my head, and I'm going down. And I'm like I'm pumping something with my hand. I'm like, see, if the dog's laying down, I can't even see my hand signal in there either. Because she's like, if you're driving, the dog can't see your toe tap. And I'm like, it can't look at me in the rear view either, Sabrina. She wasn't even in the car.
Oh, my God. So funny.
But to this day, it's still unresolved. But I still...
It's unresolved. We're going to have t-shirts made.
Yeah. Team toe tap.
Team toe tap. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, team toe tap. I still am team toe tap.
Cheers to toe tap. All right. On that note, That was Jamie Wenzel.
That's me, guys. That's the Jamie Wenzel interview.
The Jamie Wenzel experience.
Jamie Wenzel experience. There it is, in a nutshell. I hope this helps you get to know us better, and I hope it doesn't scare you away at all. I promise we're competent people, and we'll love your dog.
Oh my God, I love you.
Oh, I love you too. All right, stay tuned for the next one where I'm going to be interviewing Sabrina, and we'll see how that goes.
I'm a little nervous.
All right, let's get another bottle of wine.
All right, we'll see you later.
Bye.